recording you're about to listen to consists of several sections. The first is today's Daf Yomi from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi, followed by a brief review that allows you to listen to the entire Daf in between 5 to 10 minutes. That is followed by the same exact Daf from the previous cycle 7.5 years ago, in which there were different people attending and there's a different ambience. Choose the one you enjoy the most, or perhaps listen to one and then listen to the other for review. Enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Kritot, brought to you by Bein Chomot Yerushalayim, is Daf Yud. We're holding on the last two words of Daf Tet Amud Beit. And just to remind you where exactly we're at, is we had a very interesting machloket yesterday between the Chachomim and Rebbe Yehuda. So it turns out like this, that if you have multiple births, or actually I should say miscarriages, one within the other, so then, according to Rebbe Yehuda, we count always from the first birth, in which case the second birth, assuming that the first birth was a nekeva, because otherwise we won't get a full 40-day yitzira, which is a minimum. But assuming that the first birth was a nekeva, and then the second birth is whatever, then the second birth, if it takes place within the melot, in other words, within the 80 days, which is comprised of the 14 days of Tumah and the 66 days of Tyre for the nekeva, that the halacha is that leda is not there at all for all intents and purposes, or at least for the purposes of being chui of a korban leda, and then only the third birth, which will occur after the conclusion of the 80 days of the original birth, the third birth would be the one that would then be chayav a korban, and then the fourth birth, if it takes place within those 80 days, will not be chayav a korban, and so on and so forth. Whereas according to the Rabbanan, we always count by restarting the count at the latest birth. In which case, there's always going to be one karma. Now, the question that we want to look into today is, what is the din vis-a-vis Tumah v'Tahara? We're saying that according to Rebbe Yehuda, if a birth takes place during the Malot, we ignore it. And it's not Mechuyav HaKorban, but it's included v'chlal in the original birth. But, asks today the Gemara, Yiboyelahu, B'tum'at Mali Yom Rebbe Yehuda. What would Rebbe Yehuda hold about Tum'at Leida? Is it just me, Amina, not Khan? Look, normally Rebbe Yehuda v'lat sheni k'manda lete dami. The only point that Rebbe Yehuda was making about completely ignoring the presence of the second birth, that's only as far as the korban is concerned. But that makes sense because the 80 days aren't up yet, and therefore, given the lo yatza l'sha'ah ruya ala kriba korban, there was never any time at which we could register this as a separate birth. And it's all intents and purposes, vis-a-vis the blade up in terms of korbanot, it has no meaning. It's all going to be included in the original korban that will be later. Maybe that's only for the korban. But as far as the question of whether we have to have an additional period of tumah v'tahara, so then maybe Rebbe Yehuda would agree that, well, yes, as far as the Tumah is concerned, look, you're certainly going to have to count 7 days for a male Leda and 14 days of Tumah for a female Leda. We can't allow the Yemei Tumah to just ignore them. Where would we get that idea from? The only question is whether we would have to make up the missing days for the original birth. So in other words, if we took 7 days or 14 days out of the original Yemei Tohar, maybe what we need to do is Matzika Tumah Desheni, we would first cancel the Yemei Tohar of the Rishon for the next 7 or 14 days, and then afterwards we would have to count by making up, by being Mimaleh, the Yemei Tohar of the first one, and then we could continue counting the Yemei Tahara for the second one. So in other words, there's no reason for us to conclude just because there's no korban that therefore there's no Yemei Tumah v'Tahara. Or it may well be that according to Rabbi Yehuda, look, we're only going to give you the chumrah that comes from this conclusion that we count from the Rishon. The chumrah bringing the fact that for the third Leda, you're going to be chayev a korban, which is not true according to Rabbanan. So, Lagabi, that we're going to count from the Rishon. We're certainly not going to be Mekel to allow Yemei Tohar to take you all this additional time that you normally wouldn't have had, and those days would have to be considered Yemei Nidah. So, we're not going to be Mekel on you, but Kula Letle, because over here we're dealing with a Kula. Rebbe Yehuda doesn't hold that this is something that you can conclude any type of Kula vis-a-vis Tumah for.
Omer Avon Misura, I'm going to bring you a beautiful raya. You're really going to love this one. Tashma. Here it says that a yoledet, who is Tmei'ah before Pesach, what you can do is, if her 40th day from the Zachar, or her 80th day from the Nekeva, comes out on Erev Pesach, you can check the Korban Pesach for her. You could be Zorek the Dam for her, and that's not a problem, because tonight she is going to be already past her 40 days or 80 days. I don't get it. How is that? Adkan Tmei'ahi. She's still going to be Tmei'ah. So how in the world would you be able to allow her to eat? She's a Mechuseret Kippurim. She's not allowed to eat Kachin until the 81st day, until the 41st day, right? After she brings her Korban Otri. That's the whole point of the Korban Otri. Certainly can't let her eat a Korban Pesach if she hasn't brought her Korban Otri. So I don't know what you're talking about. So Reb Chista came up with the remarkable solution that it's going Aliba to Reb Yehuda. And since Aliba to Reb Yehuda, in a case where she had twins, so let's say the first twin was on a Sunday, the second twin was born a few hours later, but it was Monday. Now, according to Reb Yehuda, the interesting situation is that actually the 40th day is really the 41st day, because according to him, we go according to the first Leda, you see. And that's the Kiddush. So over here, Aliba to Reb Yehuda, Yod Vlad Sheni Kamanda Lete Dami. Now, here's my beautiful Raya. If you hold the Lagabi and make Tumah V'Taira, Reb Yehuda would hold that the Vlad Sheni is there, then this doesn't make any sense. Because then we're going to be pushing off the whole thing, you see. Because we're going to have to take out the time for those 7 days, for Zohar, or 14 days of Nekeva, and we're going to have to make up the missing days afterwards, so she's not going to be able to bring her Korban until another week, you see. So, or what, however many days, maybe even another 40 days. I mean, depends how exactly we learn making up the Toa Lekula is concerned. That's really Machlokes Rashi Tosafot. But in any event, there's no way that if we're going to Reb Yehuda, we need to make it up, that she could be able to bring her Korban on the 41st day. There is my proof. Because Iamrit Betumis Virulela Reb Yehuda, if you're going to tell me that according to Reb Yehuda, the Vlad Sheni exists, so how can you check on the 40th day? She's still not going to be able to eat that evening or Korban Pesach. Nami lo matza akla, elalav shmamina. So therefore, I bring you my brilliant conclusion that even when it comes to the Tyra and the Tuma, Reb Yehuda would still hold, Tzvirleila Reb Yehuda, that we should ignore the presence of the Vlad Sheni completely, and we don't change anything about making up the missing dates. Vlad Sheni kamanda lete dami. Now, what do you say about that, Ryan? Says the Gemara, well, it's brilliant, but not persuasive. Because li'olam, look, I could tell you that li'emalacha l'tumah v'l'tara, maybe Reb Yehuda would agree that the Vlad Sheni does have to be taken into consideration, and it's command to eat dami. And what we're talking about over here is, and I must pat myself on the back, because my dechiya of your raya is even more brilliant than your raya. Because what we're going to be talking about over here is a Pesach that is being brought bitum'ah. No, you haven't heard anything yet. Ask the Gemara, now wait a minute, that doesn't change a darn thing. A Pesach haba bitum'ah is only going to affect someone who's a tamei mate. We're not talking about a tamei mate, I don't know what you're talking about. Everybody knows the Mishnah that says beferish that Pesach haba bitum'ah is only for tamei metim. You can't have somebody who's a zav or a zava or a nida or a yoledet over there. Lo yochlu mimenu zavim zavot nidot v'yoldot. So then, if that's the case, she can't eat anyway tonight. Ayilo achli, right? Yeah. Here is my genius. You only can't eat of it if you hadn't gone to the mikvah, because you're a zava or you're a ledet or whatever the case may be. But over here, she did go to the mikvah. So over here, what I'm talking about is that, and you still haven't heard the end of my brilliance, that's talking about kilo tevilan. So our elu de lo akli kilo tevilan, the ones who are unable to eat, that's because they haven't gone to the mikvah. We'd have to change the word, not to ahi lo achli, which would mean that it's part of the question, but the way the Shita suggests, ha'i de'lo achli, not referring to a person, the svara over there, that you don't eat is because kilo tefillin, they didn't go to the mikvah. But over here, she obviously was tovelet. Kitanya hi, the shoktim v'zorkin olea. Our case, where we do bring the Korban Pesach for her because she'll be able to eat tonight, she'll be able to eat because she was tovelet. What? You're making me crazy. If it's because she was tovelet, then why do you have to wait for the 40th day of the idiot day? She was tovelet on the 8th day or on the 15th day. Now you are going to hear my brilliance. Back here into the corner, you see. Let's see the question. No. Because she goes to the mikvah the 8th day or on the 15th day. She is considered to be a tefillah yom. And she's a tefillah yom from that moment all the way until the time of the nightfall before she can bring her korban.
That's
an extended Erev Shemesh for the next 33 days and for the next 66 days. So therefore, he is Mishmini Lo Chazeh because he holds a tefillah yom of a Zav is still considered to be a Zav. But that evening, it's going to be after nightfall. And after nightfall, she's not going to be at the Velasyon. So she's going to be able to eat the Korban Pesach that night. Which, of course, if it wasn't the Korban Pesach that was Baba Tuma, wouldn't have done you any good, because she was a Mechuseret Kippurim. But since it's a Pesach that's a Chelas Betuma, the Mechuseret Kippurim part doesn't matter. She's like, well, why not? I mean, if you hold it to Yom Kizav is Kizav, so then even on the 40th day, so she's still going to be Mechusar Kippurim that night, right? So, B'yom Arbaim Nami Lo Chazi. Why? Indeed she is. B'yom Arbaim Chazi. Why? Because the Tana holds, even though it's Yom Kizav as a din of Azov, a Mechusar Kippurim of Azov does not have a din of Azov. It's just Tuma B'yalma. Tuma B'yalma, this is a Pesach above a Tuma. So who cares? It's a generic Tuma. You hear my brilliant? Hula Rabba. Now, how about according to Rabba, who holds? The Chusar Kippurim Dazav has the same din of Azav. How in the world would he ever explain this brighter, huh? But tonight, Tayekim et Haritzla, on Ravashi, Rabba will change the entire meaning. And he will say, on the 40th day is not a reference to the 40th day from the birth. It's a reference to the 40th day from conception. And it's going Aliba to Rabbi Yishmael, which we know Paskin, but Aliba to Rabbi Yishmael is a difference in the period of the formation of the fetus between a male and a female. And therefore, he will say that we're talking about B'yom Arbaim Litzirat HaZachar, or B'yom Shmonim Litzirat HaNekiva. It's going according to Rabbi Yishmael, who says that LeZachar, you need 41 days, and for Nekeva, you need 81 days. And that's what it's saying. She had the baby today. That's not the point. What? So what do you mean? So then, even if that's the case, you're saying she had the baby today, and since it was only on the 40th day, or on the 80th day, it's not a baby. It just has a din of liquid. So therefore, she's not Tamei Leida. That's what you're saying the Chiddush is. Not her 40th day from birth. Her 40th day from conception. And I'll leave it to Rabbi Yishmael. Well, you got to wait till the 41st day. Okay, so she's not Tamei. But what do you mean she's not Tamei? I mean, what about the bleeding at birth? I mean, she certainly has a din of Anita. How could she possibly eat tonight? Ask the Gemara. So then what about Sof, typically Tamei Mishum Nida? Even if technically she hasn't given birth. But I mean, a miscarriage carried with it blood. No, it's talking about Leida Yavishta. No, she just expelled a fetus. And there was no bleeding. Well, if there was no bleeding, then what's the chiddush? I understand. So you're telling me a woman who didn't give birth can eat a Korban Pesach at night. Thank you. That's brilliant.
A woman who didn't give birth can eat a
Korban Pesach at night. Yeah, that's right.
Like a guy who didn't give birth.
Yeah, exactly. That's a trivial statement. No, it's not trivial, you see, because it's a major question as to whether it is possible to have a uterus opening without at least some type of microscopic bleeding. So by definition, if she expelled this, it wasn't a din of a fetus, but she expelled this non-halakhic fetus, yef shelipticha takever belodam, because there is such a man diomar, and in fact we paskin that way. Kamashmon, therefore this Tana is coming to tell me that if shelipticha takever belodam, so that if we don't detect any bleeding, we can actually assume there was no bleeding. Oh, I'm Rip Schmeier. So we don't have a riot.
No, I've never heard that term used for a reference.
Oh, man, you've been through Shas and you never heard Kever.
I don't remember.
Oh, Richie, you must be getting old.
I must be.
Somebody's going to think you're over 70. Bookends. Oh, my God.
70, you know, I got
life.
So,
not this.
Thank you.
Yes. Maybe you started over. So the womb, for very good reason, is called the grave. Yeah. So this is something we've discussed many times in Shirin, by the way. Yes. Okay. So we don't have a riot. In other words, yes, it was a brilliant riot, but we've come up with alternatives. Okay, says Reb Shmaya, I'm going to bring you a riot. Toshma. The Torah mentions that if im nekeva teleg, it says v'tmeyashvu ayim kinidata v'shishim yom v'sheshet yamim. Now note the word yom. Yom is singular, and therefore we can learn something from it. Because you might have thought bein ritzufim bein mefuzarim. We will count 60 days, whether they are continuous or whether we have to split them up into pieces. Now, how would we split them up into pieces? I got it. She had a child in between, had to keep the days of Tuma. So we stopped the count of the Yemei Tohar, and then we started them up again after the Vlad, the second Vlad, became now Tohar, right?
When we start again.
We make up the missing days. We start the count to make up the missing days. So you might think that that's what we would do. Talmud Lomar Yom. Therefore it says, no. It's got to be continuous days, because that's why we use the word yom. Just like a day, you can't split up a day into parts. A day is always ratzuf. The 60 days have to be ratzufi. Now I ask you, according to whom are we talking over here? The man, is it going to Rabbonin? There's no possible case according to Rabbonin, because remember, according to Rabbonin, we always count from the latest Leida. So it's the first Leida is irrelevant. It could only work out according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says we count from the first Leida. So then you might have a thought that we should interrupt, because after all, for Tumah V'Taira, it's Kamad V'Ite, interrupt to continue counting. So therefore, you see from here, from this pasuk, it's got to be Rabbi Yehuda. And since the Torah is insisting over here at 60 days Ritzufim, clearly he does not consider the second birth to be a Leida, even Legabe, Tumah V'Taira. He only is being machmir to bring a korban for the third birth, but he's not being mekel to extend the Yemei Tohar. Kula letzli. Here's my raya. Well, not a good raya. I'll tell you why. It could be going according to Rabbanan, and it's talking about a woman who gives birth to a zachar in the middle of the 80 days of the nekeva. So over there, since the zachar's entire period is 40, it would be possible to end the entire period of the zachar, including the Yemei Tohar of the zachar, in the middle of the 80 of the nekeva. Therefore, there is a case where the Rabbanan would have to determine whether, okay, so shall we put off the missing days? Even though we started from the second birth, would we, in fact, now have to take into consideration that there had been an original birth, because the original birth extended beyond the second birth in this case, because the 40 days could have ended well before the 80 days ended. Okay, so there, we'd need to know it for the Rabbona. No, please. She had a nekeva. She was tmeah for 14 days. Conception took place on the 14th day, it's on the 15th day, conception takes place. 40 days later, the fetus is considered to be fully formed. 54 days. 40 days from 54 days always equals 94. And as far as I know, 94 is always more than 80. So how in the world would you have the Yemei Zachar ending in the middle of the 80 days of the Nekeva? No. It doesn't work out. Because the Vlad, if it isn't 40 days from conception, is not a Vlad. It's not considered to be a fetus.
How'd she conceive 14 days after birth?
What's the difference? Anything can happen. How does 6-year-olds conceive? It happens.
Aliens, yeah. Must be.
Okay? Fine. So nonetheless, says the Gemara, Sof, Shalmin Yumi de Kadma, And Ad Kan DeBatra Lo Shalmi. The 80 days are always going to be over before the 40 days, because the Rabbanon are going to count Levlat Sheni, correct? And that's 54 plus 40. No, but there's still a case. There's a case where she had twins, okay? So if she had twins, let's say the first child was female. So she gives birth to a Nekeva, and then she gives birth to a Zachar, and the second twin was born into the Yemei Tahara. Let's say even up to 20 days of the Yemei Tahara, right? So now, let's say even up to 20 days.
Second child?
Yeah, it was born later. I mean, it doesn't have to. I'm just saying it would still work out, even if it was 20 days. Because you're going to now give her 7 days of Yemei Tuma, of the Leda, okay? Take out these words, Tumim Nekeva. And you're still going to complete the Zachar's Yemei Tohar in the middle of the 80 days. Because you don't need any time for the formation of the fetus. The fetus was formed the same time that the female was born. And therefore, I need to know, what would the Rabbanan say about a case like that? Do we make up the missing days, or do we not make up the missing days? You might think, this is what it's talking about, not like Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe it's going only on Rabbi Rabbanan. You might think that in a case where she was Yaldat Ta'omim, first in a Kevami Ikara, and then a Zachar Lebesov, and there Tafsik Tumala Deda Bemitze, the Tumat Leda of the Zachar, 7 days, interrupted the count of the Yemei Tohar, and therefore we should count her 66 days Mefuzarim and make it up to her. Therefore, Talmud Lomar, Yom, Ma Yom Kulo Ratzuf, Af Shishim Kulam Ratzufi. So even from this case, you don't have a Raya. Ha! So we still don't know what would be the din alibit of Yudah, because we could still make this work out alibit Rabban. Omar Abaye, okay, I got a proof for you. Continue reading, please, the previous Braita. We darshan the Shishim. We didn't darshan the Shloshim. The Braita continues and says, okay, what about Shloshim? When it says Shloshim, you might think that those 33 days, so it says Shloshim Yom, you might think that the 30 days we should make up for her, and they could be even Mefuzarim. Bein Ritzofim, Bein Mefuzarim, Talmud Omar Yom, just like a Yom is always contiguous moments, Af Shloshim Ritzofim, the 30 days have to be all consecutive. Now, I ask you how you're going to work this one out. I mean, it's all very nice that you worked out the 80, because the 60, which is 80, because you had a Zachar in the middle of the Nekeva. I'd love to see how you're going to get this one to work, because you sure as heck aren't going to get 40, which is the minimum, in the 33. So, who is this going according to, huh? I mean, Ilei Rabbanan, there would be no case where the Rabbanan could hold Mefuzarim. In this case, where the 7 days of Yemei Tumah the Zohar interrupted, and that's coming to tell you, because the Rabbanan hold you count for the second Vlad, it's got to be Rabbi Yehuda. And nonetheless, the Torah is saying, don't split up those days. How can I not split them up? Don't I have to count? No, you don't have to count, because the second Vlad is, for all intents and purposes, never happened, since it was in the middle of the Malot. And Shema Amina, the Rabbi Yehuda holds only a Kumra, and not the Kula. By the way, says Rav Ashi, I got a simple riot for you from the first case, because you skipped over the part. We darshan Shishim Yom. But how about the next Russia? Sheshet Yamim. Now, Yamim, that's not comparing it to Yom. Okay? So now, how do we know that the last 6 days should not be Mefuzarim? Maybe the last 6 days would be Mefuzarim. Because over there it uses the plural Yamim, not the singular Yom. Now, what about that? So there we darshan, Sheshet Yamim. You might think that that would mean Bain Ritzufinu Bain Mefuzarim. Talmud Omar, Shishim. Just like the Shishim is Ritzufim, as we proved from Yom, so too the Shisha is Ritzufim. Therefore, let's say that she has a baby on day 63 instead of 66. And you might think that you'd have to make up those 3 days for her afterwards. According to who? Why? How would you make up the 3 days? According to who? According to the Rabbanan, we start the count again. Remember, the Rabbanan always go according to the second. The only way that this could possibly work out is according to Rabbi Yehuda. And the Torah is coming to tell me, Not only where she had a baby in the middle of the 60 days, where the Torah uses the singular yom, but even if she had a baby in the middle of the last 6 days where the Torah uses the word yamim, we also don't make it up to her. Now that's going a little bit further. So man, ilei mirabonan, there ain't no such case. Mirabonan don't ever come to a situation where it's befuzarim, because they always say, no, no, start over again. Give her the entire 80 days for a second birth. You always count at the last birth. El alav. There's only one possible explanation. It's going according to Rabbi Yehuda. And again, the Torah is saying there's no such thing as a split up count, which tells us that Rabbi Yehuda only says lechumra and not lekula. There's no kula involved. Legavi tumah v'tayra. Elu. Now we mentioned before, and we didn't list any of the carbon olaviyore, and we said that there are five cases of bringing a carbon olaviyore. They are shmiat kol, bitwis vatayim. Shmiat kol is where somebody denies. This is the word shmiat kol is based on the pasuk vishama kol Allah. A guy, a witness, hears somebody cursing those who would know testimony and refuse to bring it, and he says, "Oh, I swear, I don't know any testimony," and he did know testimony. Bituis Vatayim is typical Shvat Sheker. Tumat Migdash Kedoshav, somebody with Tumat Haguf goes into the Beit HaMikdash or eats Kodesh. Eyoledet is also dependent on her status, how rich or poor she is. And a Mitzorah. So when we're talking about Olevi Oreid, we don't mean the Chatat Olevi Oreid, because that's only the first cases. We're talking about any case which is different depending on how much you can afford. Now, what's interesting is that it's not really the same. In other words, we're calling it olav yored as if it's the same thing, but it's not really the same thing. Because in a carbon olav yored, you have an additional possibility of bringing not only, if you're rich, an animal. If you're poor, a bird. And if you're very poor, that's where we have a asirita ifa mincha, which is called a minchat chote. You don't have that option when it comes to Yoledet, when it comes to Mitzorah. You only have the possibility of choosing either from the animal or from the bird. What's more is that the cases are really very, very different. When you're bringing an olav yored, then the Torah is giving you an option of, in place of a chatat, behima, to bring two birds. And one is an ola, and one is a chatas. And the reason for that is brilliant analysis by Rameir Simcha. The reason for that is because a chatat behima has two parts to it. One is brought on the mizbeach, and the other part is eaten. But a chatat ha'oth has absolutely nothing brought on the mizbeach. Therefore, you need to bring the bird that's the ola, which is brought on the mizbeach, which takes the place of.
It's a long blink.
It takes the. That's a new one. Long blink. Does somebody want to give a call to get his book? Richie, that was brilliant. I got to remember that one. We got to remember that for the times we fell asleep in the middle of Kriyat Shema. You have to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was just, yeah. I wasn't sleeping. Okay, so he explains that you're bringing the Ola in place of the Emurim of the Chatat Be'ima. See, it's brilliant analysis. Now, so where you're substituting B'dalut, in the case of a Korban Olav HaYored, you're substituting two birds for a Chatas. For Chatas Behima. Where a Yoledet is going to bring a bird, Bidalut, it's only a single bird, because she's still bringing her Behima as an Eila, that she has to bring along with it. That was something we pointed out yesterday. So it's not the same, really, at all. Plus, we're going to see there's other fascinating differences that we're going to analyze right now. So Tana Rabbah. So first of all, says the Braita, look, it's really weird, because there's places where you bring Dalut and Ashirut, and that will be the Yoledet. The Yoledet is never going to have an option of entirely Dalut, because she always has to bring an Olat Beimah. So that's a given. There's some cases where you could bring entirely bedalut. Let's say for the olaviyored. So over there you could substitute for the entire chatat birds. And there's cases of an olaviyored where you bring bedalei dalut, where you can even bring a siriteifa. Let's take a look at the yoledet. The yoledet brings either she brings her two behemot or she brings one behema and one bird. So she's bringing bedalut and ashirut. And Mitzorah can substitute entirely for his chiyuv. He can substitute the birds for his chatas. A shmiat akol abitu isfatayim and tumat midash v'kadoshav, which are the technical korban olav yored chatat, they can even bring two birds in place of the entire chatat, or they can even bring a asirut ha'ifa. Now there's another bracha that points out the other differences between them, and this is really cute. There are times where you bring one instead of one. There are times when you bring two instead of two. There are times when you bring two instead of one. And there are times when you bring one instead of two. And this proves to you that an asirit ha'ifa is only costing you one penny. Oh, man. What in the world does that mean? Well, now we're going to explain it, okay? A yoledet brings only one bird instead of one animal. That's what we say. Sometimes you bring one instead of one. Okay, so yoledet brings one tachat achat. Okay, that means she's bringing one preda, a bird, instead of her kebis, tachat kebis. All right.
One bird.
Yeah.
Even without the animal?
She's always bringing the animal as an oila.
Yes.
But she's bringing one bird instead of her chatas.
She's bringing the animal. So
but forget the animal.
Well,
she had a chatas, and now she's bringing a chatas of one bird. That's all we're interested in. You're bringing one bird in place of one animal. True or not true? Don't tell me how much money she's got in the bank. Don't tell me what kind of car she drives. Let's just focus on this issue. She had a chatas, and a behemoth she was supposed to bring. Instead of it, she's bringing an oaf. One oaf. Okay, so that's one in place of one. Now, emitzorah. Okay. And Mitzorah is going to be bringing two predim, and that two predim he's going to be bringing instead of his two kvasim. What do you think about that? Well, so we've got, because he's poor, so that's two instead of two. Now, a shmiat hakol between svatayim tumat mikdash v'kadoshav would bring two birds in place of one, you see. Is that he's got to, the Mitzorah is the only one who's got to bring both the chatas and an oil. So he's substituting both the chatas and the oila in birds. So that's two for two. But the olav yored never had to bring an oila. He only had to bring a chatas. And when he brings it bedalut, he's bringing two instead of one. And he can also bring, if he's very poor, bedalut, he can bring just an asirit ha'ifa instead of two. So that's one in place of two. Brilliant. One in place of one. Great. You've got two in place of two. You've even got one in place of two. And this proves, on this part, really, how does this prove anything? Mikama talamet, this proves that the asirit ha'ifa is only a penny. How the heck did you reach that conclusion from the opening? And this is brilliant. This is so cute. The tenor of it, we'll look. If somebody makes a neder and he says, I am going to bring something worth one sella to the mizbeach, what does he bring? He brings a kevis. Because we know that there's no animal that is standardly worth a sella other than a kevis. How do I know that? Because, look, the El Ha'asham, the Torah assigns a value of two shkalim to an El Ha'asham. And an asham, an ayel, is a two-year-old, meaning it's in its second year, whereas the kevis is in its first year. And that would imply, in other words, if judging by the standard situation, the 1 year within its first year is half the value of the adult ayel. So the kevis is half the value of adult ayel. If the Torah is giving you two sla'im as the value of the adult, then that means the kevis within its first year is one sela. Okay? And midachtiv kevis ben shnato. And kevis ben shnato, therefore, would be half the value of the ayel of shnei shanim. Now, that's fact number one. I'm going to give you all the facts you need to conclude that asirit ha'ifa is only worth a penny. Now, okay, so dig this. We got that so far? One sela. Okay, now, remember that we said in the Mishnah previously that on that day, the price of kinim went down to a quarter. Now, I got to tell you that actually, rivatayim seems to mean two quarters. And when we read that Mishnah, we explained it as a half a dinner, because that's the simple meaning of the Mishnah. That's how the Rav learns it and so on. But the Gemara is assuming that rivatayim is just a way of saying quarters. In other words, you could get a pair of birds for one quarter. Now, think about that. A sella is four dinner. A quarter is a fourth of a dinner, which means that the way that the Torah gives you a discount for being poor is that it offers you a chance to pay 1/16 of what you would otherwise have paid. Okay? That's your second fact. Second fact is a quarter. All right. Now, I say as follows, that you see from here that midchas rachman alei d'dalut, if the Torah now has rachamim on a poor man to allow him to pay chad mishita sarba ashirut, he can go all the way down to 1/16 of what he would have had to pay if he was poor, if he was rich, okay? Then we can safely assume that when the Torah allows you to bring an asirit ha'ifah, it's going to allow you to pay 1/16 of the value that you would have paid if you had to buy the bird, right? So then chas rachman alei d'dalei dalut would also be 1/16. Okay, now, how much are you paying for a bird? A quarter, right? How many prutot are there in a quarter, in a riva? There are 48 prutot. And so, therefore, you can conclude safely that it's a pruta. Wait, excuse me, but your math is a little screwed up. 1/16 of 48 is not a pruta. It's 3 prutot. So chad mishita sarkame havi t'dalut tlata prite, and you said mikana talamid la siriteifa bepruta. Now how do you get that? A my pruta. Now how do you come up with a pruta with that math? You said the asiriteifa of the lay dalut is 1/16 of dalut. Okay, I just made a simple cheshbon, and that equals 3 prutot. Ha. Yes, but you forgot to take into consideration that one one of the cases of the Dalut was a Yoledet who only brings one bird, which is a half of a quarter. And therefore, we're learning out of a Yoledet. A Yoledet brings only one Preda on a Keves. Now, that means that the Torah is letting you off all the way down to 1/32 of the price of the Ashir, which means that now we're going to let you go from the price of the Dal 1/32 down, which takes you down to 3/4 of a prut, if there's 48 prutot in a quarter, which means that you are, now we're going to round it out to a prut, because it isn't very polite to bring less than a pruta, and therefore we're doing well. So that's Echad Mitlatin Vetrain the Keves, 1/32. Yeah, but it's still no good. It's still no good. Because the Yoledet doesn't have Dalei Dalut. So it's all very nice to say the Yoledet. We could bring a raya that Dalut goes down from the Ashir by 1/32. But you can only go down from the Dal to the Dal in 1/16, because there's no equivalent case by the Yoledet. And by the case of the Olivi Yoret, it would be only 1/16, because you're bringing two birds. So now if you take 1/16 of 24 prutot, you're over a pruta! You're over a pruta! You said only one pruta, and it's a pruta and a half. And you'd have to round it out to two prutas. So how do you learn out from here that a case of Dalei Dalut Asirit Ha'ifa has only one pruta? Your math is still no good. Because we're going to learn, look, still Dalei Dalut Kamehavi. It's still Dalei Dalut's only going to be 1/16 of Dalut, because Me'echa Yoli from Keves Vahayo. I mean, so then all you get to is what? A pruta of a palga. You've gotten down to 1.5 prutot. Says Rava, come off it. Man, kula milta miyoledet. Now, we're learning the thing out of yoledet. The point over here is only to learn the way that the Torah is ready to prorate at the discount. It doesn't have to have exactly that case. We're pointing out that the Torah is ready to let the poor get away with 1/32nd, okay? In which case, the poor should be able to get away with 1/32nd, and in the case of the Oledet itself, that's what I would mean. That is 1/32nd of the Ashirut, and if that's the case, it's letting you off of my Yoledet, okay? So it's the same thing, Chas Rachman of Dalei Dalut, to be 1/32nd of the Dalut. And that means, and we're going to go all the way down, to 3/4 of a pruta. What do you say about that? 3/4 of a pruta, 1/32nd of 24 prutas. Wait, but that's still missing 1/4 of a pruta. Your math still is off. Nechi riva de pruta avi. Well, yes, that's true. But would you say that it's derech eretz to bring such a crummy, cheap carbon? I mean, shouldn't it be worth at least a pruta? If that's what, yeah, I mean, what are we talking about? Ela lav urech ara latiyah pachot bipruta lamakom. It is not derech eretz to bring less than 1 pruta to HaKadosh Baruch Hu or to the Mikdash, is the other girsa, and therefore our math is better than you think.
Doesn't it have to be shana?
Well,
at least,
or say,
just as a.
No, because that's in transactions of moment. Over here, moment is not the essential point. Now, you'll notice that we've made a very, very interesting difference. And when we use the couple of issues that came across with the Shivcha, is that we talked about Bevori Chayev 1. For no matter how many times you slept with the Shivcha. We also spoke about the fact that you can bring a carbon, the mazid. And so let us take a look at the total differences between the Shivcha, which we're going to explain now as a Shivcha Charuf, or we'll explain what that is. But what is the difference between a Shivcha who is married to somebody else to sleeping with other Arayot? Well, there's a lot of differences. First of all, Shalosh Yiftalem Loba Onesh. I mean, first of all, the Onesh is not the same. The carbon is not the same. Kola Arayot, you bring a carbon Chatat. And a Shivcha, you bring the Asham Shivcha Charufot. Okay? Kola Arayot, generally speaking, both partners get the same punishment. Echada Ish Ve'echada Isha. They have the same punishment, whether we're talking about a case where there's a Chiyav Malkus, or if it's Beshogi, gets a carbon. Now, with the Shivcha, it's not the same at all. With the Shivcha, lo ishva lo ish liisha, the male does not get malchus. He only brings that korban, even if he did it b'mezid. But the female gets malchus.
Yeah, the Shivcha.
The Shivcha. Velo ishva isha laish, but if the female was a shogeg, she doesn't bring the korban. She does nothing. Okay? Now, furthermore, there's another very important difference in how we define the act of intercourse, because kol ha'arayot, we have a raya from the words in the arayot, he'era, and therefore we say, asaba en et mikora he'era, so asaba en et ha'ma'ara kegomer, even genital contact is sufficient to be mechayivim. And not only that, you'd be chayev on every single act of intercourse separately, as we learned that from Isha. So chayav al kol biyah ubiyah. Okay? Now, this is not true, however, by the Shivcha. The Shivcha only is chayev for real insertion. We're going to see where we learn that. For shichvat zera, it has to be ro'ui lazria. So you need to be able to actually inject ejaculate into her. And not only that, you're chayev for every act of bia separately. So zu chomer chmir b'shivcha. The one thing that the shivcha is more chomer is sha'asava et ha'mezid kishogeg. The Torah considers the mezid to be like the shogeg, meaning that you will get a chiev no matter what. You'll still bring that korban. Now, when we're talking about a shivcha, I want to make it very clear that a shivcha does not mean a shivcha. It means a shivcha who is partially. We're talking about Ezu Shivcha, Kol Shechetzia Shivcha, Vechetzia Bat Chorim. Because the Torah uses a strange word where it says, V'hi Shivcha Neherefet Le'ish Ve'hevda Lo Nivdata. Now what do you mean, Hevda Lo Nivdata? Yes or no? So Hevda Lo Nivdata, says Rabbi Akiva, should say, says Rabbi Akiva, Divi Rabbi Akiva, she is partially, as she was owned by two people, one of them gave her a get shichrur, so she is a partially freed woman. Therefore, her marriage is not really complete, and the Torah gives her this strange sort of in-between status of being married, but not quite an eshet ish. Rabbi Yishmael says, no, we're talking about a shivcha, a real shivcha, who is now together with an eved. So she's a shivcha vada'it. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, you know, kol ha'arayot, look, all of the other arayot, they're very, very clear. They're mefurashot. The only thing that, and we know everything about them, right? The only thing that is left mashiur, what could be different about this case? It's got to be that she's a chetzia shivcha, a chetzia bat chorin.
This is Bill Clinton's favorite suit.
Bitum a mali amar Rabbi Yehuda. Mi amrina dot com at kan lorka amar Rabbi Yehuda vlad sheni kamanda lete delmen alinid korban. Gimed alo yatsa l'sha'ashu yalak riba korban. And hoyo v'chein vlad sheni kamanda lete delmen. Aval linyantum avatara. Maybe it's like anything else. And emas virale kamanda ite delmen. And what then would we do? Well, we would be mafsik, the tumah of the sheni. And we would then be mamala yumetaira of the Rishon afterwards, and then we would continue to count the yumetaira of the Sheni. Or perhaps the Rabbi Yehuda churma udiitle avalhacha, doing that would give her longer yumetar, which is a kula, and we're not going to give her a kula letle. Amar Avuna Mitzura, I got a brilliant raya tashma. Yoledet shochatin vezorkin aleha b'yom arba'im lezachar u'b'yom shmonim lenekeva. How is that possible? Ad kan tmeahi. And Rav Tista explained how it's possible. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds Vlad Sheni Kamandalete Dami, and she had twins, and one of them was born on Sunday, and one was born on Monday, and therefore the 40th day is really the 41st day. Now, Iyamrit Petumas, Rabbi Yehuda Vlad Sheni Kamandalete Dami, what good is it to say it's going like Rabbi Yehuda? Because that evening she's still nami lo matzia akla elolav shmamina letara v'letuma svir le Rabbi Yehuda v'lat sheni kaman v'lete dami. It must be that it has no impact. Says the Gemara, not necessarily, because we could explain it otherwise. And what we're talking about over here is a case of a Pesach Abba Betuma. What? So what? Miach Lavatnan. Pesach Abba Betuma. Lo yochlumi menu zavin vizavot idot viyoldot. Yeah. But I eat the lo achte kilot vilan. Ki tani the shokhtim vizorgan alada tavla. What do you mean, not tavla? So then count from Yom Shmini. What do we got to wait till 40? So Mishmini di lo de chaza. No. Mishmini lo chaza because kesova tvo yom de zov kesov dami. Well, if that's the case, then be yom arboim nami lo chaza because she's going to be mechuzik ipurim. Lie. Be yom arboim chaza because even though tvo yom de zov kesov dami, mechuzik ipurim de zov lav kesov dami. Well, what about according to Rava de Omar? Mechuzik ipurim de zov is kesov dami. So how's he going to explain this? Om Ravashi, well, Rava is a Mataritzla. We're not even talking about when she gave birth over here, 40 days after birth. We're talking about when she conceived. Biyom Arbaim Litzirat Zakar. Biyom Shmonim Litzirat Nekeva. Which is only meaningful according to Rabbi Shmuel, who says, Lizakar, you require Arbaim Ve'achad. And Litzakeva Shmonim Ve'achad. Okay, fine. So, but I mean, you're telling me she didn't give birth because it's too early. But she's still Anita. No, Belayde Yavishta. So then what's its trivial? Myla Memra. Aha. Because by the time you have Shalipticha Kever Blodam, come Ashvon Dev Shalipticha Kever Blodam. Now what are you going to say? Omrib Shmaya Tashma. Shishim Yom. Now, Yocho Ben Ritzufim Ben Mefuzarim Talmud Omar Yom Ma Yom Ratzuf Av Shishim Kulam Ratzufim. Now, ask yourself, Mani, Ilema Rabbanan, there's never going to be such a case, because the Rabbanan hold you count from the second birth, so me eat the Rabbanan Mefuzarim El Alav Rabbi Yehuda. And since the Koyav La Shishim Ratzufim Ba'ali Adadi, the Torah is specifically saying, do not extend the Yimei Torah. So Shema Mino Chumra, itle the Rabbi Yehuda, kula letle. No, liolam rabbanani. Vach ma'eskinu yoledet zachar betok shmanim shel nekeva. So what? It still doesn't work. So if sof shleimim yumid kadma vat kandibatra lo shleimim, because you're going to have to start, according to the Rabbanan, you're going to have to start with the zohar conception, 14 days after the nekeva's birth, 40 days for fetal development, 54 plus 40, 94 is more than 80. And according to Rabbanan Vlad Sheni Manu, Elamashkach, Bel Rabbanan, Bioledet Ta'omim, the first child is a nekeva, the second one is a male, and the male was born, let's say, 20 days into the Yemei Tohar of the nekeva. Where over there, you would still end the Yemei Tohar of the Zohar within the Yemei Tohar of the nekeva, and there, even according to Rabbanan, you're going to have to figure out what the din is. V'chikama, yochal echad yoldatomim nekeva niikara v'zachar lebesof. You might think, tafsik tumad aleidah b'mitzai, and let's give her shisha v'shishim yom mifuzarim. Talmud Omar, even according to the Rabbanan, yom. Ma yom kulo ratzuf, av shishim kulam ratzufim. So you still have no raya. Rabbi, okay, fine. You have no raya from Shishim. How about from Shloshim? The Braita talks about Shloshim Yom. Tashma Shloshim. Yocho Ben Ritzufim Ben Mefuzarim. Talmud Lomar Yom. Ma Yom Kulo Ratzuf Av Shloshim Ritzufim. Now, can't make this work out according to Rabbanan. Money. Ilam Rabbanan, there would never be Mefuzarim because they always go according to the later Shnei. Rabbanan of Lot Shnei Menah. El Alav Rabbi Yehuda. Shmang Nachur Ma'itle. Kula Letle. Furthermore, it says Rav Ashi, even if you look into the other drasha of the Sheshet Yamim instead of Shishim Yom. So Yocho Ben Ritzufim Ben Mefuzarim, since it says Yamim, Talmud Lamar Shishim V'Sheshet. So just like the Shishim Ritzufim we know from Yom, the Shisha is Kulam Ritzufim. Now, who would it be going according to? That she had a baby during the last 6 days. I mean, if it's going to Rabbanan, we count by the second one. So Miyita Rabbanan Mefuzarim, Homer Rabbanan Levlad Sheini Manya, Elalav Rabbi Yehuda, Shmamina Chumra Itle, Kula Letle, Shmamina. Eilu bevim korban olav yored. Shmiat kol, bitui svatayim, altubat bingdash kudoshav, eyoledet, animet sora. Tan rabbon. Yesh bevi bedalut ve'ashirut. Yesh bevi bedalut. Yesh bevi bedalei dalut. And this is how it stacks. Yoledet bevi bedalut ve'ashirut. Mitzora bevi bedalut. Shmiat kol, bitui svatayim, altubat bingdash kudoshav. Can even bring an asirite for bedalei dalut. Tanya idach, yesh bevi achat tachat echad. Yesh mevi shnayim tachat shnayim. Yesh mevi shnayim tachat achad. And yesh mevi achat tachat shnayim. And that proves that an asirat haifa is a pruta. Now, guys, if you can figure that out, you won the $64,000 question. Awesome. And here's the answer. You'll let it mevi achat tachat achad. Because she brings a preda achat as an oath, tachat keves, okay? Mitzora brings shtei predim, but it's tachat shnei kvasim. Shmiat kol bitui svatayim tubat bikush v'kidoshav, bring two predim instead of the single kivsa achat for the chatak. And there may be bedalei dalut an asiri taifa, which means they bring one thing instead of two things, instead of shtei predim. And how do you explain the last piece, though? Mikana talamed la sirit teifa shibaprut. I still don't see how that follows. We know it. You're not aware of all the facts. D'tan rabban. Ha'omra ha'reelai b'sela l'mizbeach. He brings a keves. Because the only thing that is defined as a sela is a keves. Where is that? Well, since m'diom rachmana ela ha'asham b'kesef shkalim, and that's a two-year-old, so then mechla the keves ben shana is a seller. And it says, Keves ben Shnato, okay? Now, we also know in the Mishnah of the previous parak, it says that the kinim on that day went down to a quarter. Now, if it went down to a quarter, that means it went down to 1/16th of the value of the behema, okay? Which means, midachas rachman alei d'dalut, to be 1/16th of the ashirut, then it would stand to reason that chas rachman on the dalei dalut to be 1/16th of the dalut. Okay, so the dalut is a quarter. How many prutot are there in a quarter? 48. So therefore, you could go down by 1/16th out of 48. Yeah, and that gives you 3. Where'd you learn to do arithmetic? Where do you get a pruta from? You said 1/16th. Lest I get it, divide now that 48 by 16. You still get 3 prutot. Ah, but you forget. The Tana isn't learning it out of a guy who's bringing 2 predim. It's learning out of a yoledet. Yoledet brings a predachat instead of a keves, which is 1/32nd. Okay? Yeah, but it's still ain't going to help you, you see, because the dalei dalut is still only 1/16th, which gives you a pruta and a half. The me'echi yolet v'keves v'ayel, that gives you pruta v'palga. Says Rava, no, it doesn't. Kula milta miyoledet yalev karma. Since the proportion of chas rachman alei d'dalut is 1/32nd of the ashirut, and that's from the case of the yoledet, we can assume that dalei dalut is also 1/32nd of a dalut, which is 1/32nd of 48. So that, of 24. So that gives us less than a pruta, though. That's nechi riva de pruta. Yes, that's true. Achinami. Ela de lavurachara latuye pachot bi pruta lamakom, isn't? And therefore, we round it off to a pruta. Ma ben shiv chalavin kol ha'arayot, shelo shiv talem lo ba'onesh v'lo b'korban, shekol ha'arayot b'chatat en shiv chaz ba'asham. Kol ha'arayot echad ha'ish v'echad ha'isha shavim b'makot u'b'korban, u'b'shivcha lo ishva lo ha'ish li'isha b'makot, v'lo ishva isha li'ish b'korban. Kol ha'arayot asa b'hen et ha'ma'ara k'gomer, en kol ha'arayot chieva kobiya obiya. This idea is chomer that hichmir b'shivchav, you still bring a carbon where she brings nothing. So it makes the mezid kishogei. The ezo shivcha that we're talking about over here, kol shechatzia shivcha v'chatzia bat chorin, shenema ve'evdal lo nivdat, adivi Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yishmol omer, no, it's a shivcha v'adait. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov omer, well look, kol ha'arayot b'furashot, And over here, there's nothing left to make the difference unless it's that she's a chetzi shivcha, the chetzi abat cholin.
That was the daf from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi. Hold on, and you shall hear the same daf from the cycle 7.5 years ago, cycle number 11.
Good morning. We are holding on Daf Yud today, Masechet Yitut. I believe that we got only up to the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Tesamadeh. Am I right in that? I'm sure Sabachash will be ready. Before we begin with
Zuk the Heidek Mishnah.
You were a little hoarse.
We'll leave it at that.
Ha'isha, she yalda vladot harbe. We're continuing now with the explanation of how it is that you bring one carbon for many events. So the other examples we went through yesterday, we went through the Mekana v'ishto, as the third, and the final one is the case of she had a number of different children, one after the other. So she was mapila. Case big. She had now a miscarriage betoch shmonim de nekeva. Within the 80 days that are given to nekeva, chazra v'hipila betoch shmonim de nekeva again. She gets another female birth, miscarriage. This can go on forever. Or, for that matter, v'hamapela te'omim. I mean, it does not have to be a case. In order for it to be a case where she reconceives, it has to be a nekeva. because otherwise reconception is impossible. Since the minimum shiur of a miscarriage is 40 days from conception, and there's only 40 days in total that are granted to the Zohar, the truth is that this should not be learned without a preface, and I hate giving the preface when not everybody is here, but you know what? I'm going to anyway. No. Let's start at the beginning of this. The Torah gives two separate halachas for Yoledet Zachar and Yoledet Nekeva. The Zachar is precisely one half of the Nekeva, both for Gabi Tum'ah and the Gabi Tara. So when it comes to a Zachar, the Leda is Matame, the woman Tum'at Leda, whether she was Roadam, she wasn't Roadam. She's Tumeah for 7 days. And then the next 33 days, even if she's bleeding, she's not Tumeah. That's called Yimei Tohar. The Nekeva case is she is Tumeah initially for 14 days and then has 66 days of Tahara of Yimei Tohar. So it's precisely double. Now, there's another halacha that we have to remember, which is that she cannot bring her korban until the end of these Yimei Tohar. So that even though she is tovelet, immediately after she becomes tohar, on the 14th, or after the 14th, or after the 7th, and it was on the 8th or 15th day, but she's considered to be a tefulat yom aruka, or the tefulat yom aroch, actually, is a reference to the day. She's a tefulat yom aroch, it's a very long day, which goes for 66 days, until sunset. And then, at the end of the sunset, she is ready, now on the 81st day, to bring her korban. And that was the whole case we had before, with Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai, what happens the night of the 81st day, was all based on that analysis. The understanding is that betoch the melot, we took it for granted, and here the Mishnah is dealing with it, betoch melot, we call it melot because the melot yamei tahara is the lashon of the tahara. So betoch the melot, as long as she has another birth, it's going to be covered because she hasn't yet begun to be in the period lo yatz'ah lizman haru'iyala bikorban. So until the 81st day, and we had a machlokus whether Lila is not considered to be a Mechusar Zman, could be even the night of the 81st day, the night prior to the 81st day. But certainly until after the 80th day, any Leda that she has in that period is going to be included in the carbon that she will bring for her original Leda. That's what we assumed all along. Now the only way, in practical terms, that this can happen is certainly through multiple births, which we'll discuss in a moment, where one of the fetuses was delayed. But the case of reconception, because we have another halacha, remember that the minimum shiur of a fetus is 40 days from the time of conception, and anything less than that is not considered to be a fetus, no matter what it looks like. It's just basically a hafrashah of some kind. In other words, we don't care that it looks like a fetus. It's halacha is defined as mayim bialma. So at that point, the Mishnah couldn't be considering what the din is of a korban on mayim bialma, obviously. So the only case that we could have where she reconceives would be where the first birth was in the nekeva. Because by definition, if the first birth is a zachar, then obviously by the time the 40 days, she can't even become pregnant until the end of the first 7 days. So where is there going to be time for her to conceive another child? Right, I mean, she could conceive, yes, but not something that is halachically a fetus. So the case would have to be that she's at least 55 days into the period from the time of her birth of a nekeva. The first 14 days, she couldn't conceive because she's not allowed to have sexual relations. The 15th day she can. Takes her 40 days now until she has a fetus that has a din of a fetus. And therefore, on the 55th day, this problem could arise. She's still in the middle of her 80 days, which is the malot. On the 55th day, she now has another miscarriage. Now it doesn't matter what this miscarriage is. And the question is she chayevet the korban? No, because she's going to cover it with the korban of the first one, and it's not considered to be a leida. Continues the Mishnah and says, that's true, but it starts the cycle over again. So in other words, let's say she had a miscarriage of a female then it starts again 80 days of Malot. So she now has a third one. It's still in the same Yemei Malot, because there never was a time in which she could have brought a korban. And therefore, this could go on forever. And she would be only chayevet one korban. Now, that's making the assumption that we start the count again at the second Leida. In other words, the second Leida is considered to be a birth. It's just not a birth that's b'chayev you a korban because it's covered by the first korban. But it certainly starts again the cycle of the 80 days, so that if there's yet another birth, it's all included in that same korban. All right. So therefore, if she's yaldav lodot harbe, and of course this could only work, he pila b'toch shemonim e nikeva, and then it starts over again 80 days, and so then chazra b'pila b'toch shemonim nikeva. And then we have to talk about only female births in order to allow for reconception and for the formation of a fetus. Tosis points out that it's a little bit strange for us to talk about the as if we know precisely when conception was, because we may know when intercourse was, but we still have 3 days basically in which sperm remains viable. So how do we really know? Tosis says, but I mean, Shmuel Lemaisa, the Gemara says, was such a bucky that he could determine medically the moment of conception in examining the fetus. So in other words, given that we have the information, however we have it. So now she's yipila b'toch shemonim another dekeva. Or we could have the equivalent case even with a male birth, but of course there we couldn't have reconception, but we could have a delayed delivery of a second twin, so that she loses one of them and then loses the next one. As long as it's b'toch malos of the zocher, which is our boy, you know, over here the fetus of course could already be 6 months old. That's not the point, because conception took place a half a year ago. But the idea is that she would all be covered by the same korban. And that's what the Mishnah meant in the beginning when it said that you bring one korban on many events. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not quite the way you're looking at it, my dear friends. Meviyah al harishon, ve'ina meviyah al hashniyah, agreed. The first part of what you said is true, that if she has now a nikevah, betoch the malot of the first nekeva, it's all covered by the carbon that she's going to bring at the end of the malot. But it is not true that she starts to count over again. The second birth is considered to be part of the first birth for all intents and purposes, because it's betoch a malot. But it's not considered to be its own unique event, to become now a new birth and to start over now another Yemei Malot, so that we could keep doing this ad infinitum. So the second time that she has a miscarriage, that's now not going to be included. And she will have to be maybe ala shlishi. So in other words, the third birth, well, let's call it all miscarriages to get away from the second and third, okay? So she miscarries betoch shmonim, that's one car. Miscarries again 40 days later, so to speak, that was 55 days later, allowing for 14 days of tuma. 55 days later, no, now she has to, on that third miscarriage, she has to bring a separate korban, because that's not included in the period of the first birth. What are you going to say, the second birth started over again? No, it didn't. The whole point is that the second birth was considered to be an extension of the first birth, because it was betoch hamelot. And therefore, every other birth she's going to have to bring on. So the shlishit she'll bring on, and then ena meviyah al harivi. Since the third one was a unique birth, it begins now a count of 80 days. The fourth birth will be included within those 80 days. And then on the fourth one you won't bring, because it's going to be covered by the third one. But then the fifth one you will have to bring, because it's already outside of the 80 days of the third one, and so on and so forth. So it is according to Rabbi Yehuda, it seems clear that we don't view each birth as being a unique event. The point is that you're potter over here from a korban, because of the fact that the birth took place betoch the Yemei Malot of the original birth. And that's the whole idea. Says the Gemara, I'm sorry, did I finish the Mishnah? Yes. Says the Gemara, Minola, how is it that we know that the Torah is not mechayev a korban on the actual event of a delivery or of a miscarriage? Tatani Tanaka made a Rav Sheshet, because it says, Zot Torat Hayoledet, Lazachar Velanekeva. So it's a single Torah for a Yoledet Zachar Nekeva and so on. It's not that each birth is mechayev a separate korban. Yochol af al haleidah v'al haziva. You might think that in the event that you have a ziva, let's say that she was roya shloisha yomim betoch the yamei azov, which means after she was already mitted to herit from her period, she now has 11 days after the first 7 days of nido. During those 11 days, she is going to be considered to be a zova if she's roya dam. Okay, she's roya dam, and then she has a baby before she's mitted to herit from her zivot. So you might think that this is considered to be one event, which basically she can now bring one carbon for both her yuleda and her ziva. Talmud Lomar, therefore, the Torah has to come to teach me. Zos Torah Sielazos, this is a unique carbon only on Leda, but not on anything else.
Ziva doesn't affect the
Leda. Yeah, the Gemara is about to ask that. Excuse me, did you just say Yochol ala Leda ala Ziva inim ibiya carbon echad? What kind of crazy half I mean is that? I understand, if somebody, if she would have eaten dam and was high of a carbon, and now she has a baby, so you're going to say, well, she has a baby, what does she have to pay? Bring a kappas for on eating dam? Well, I don't understand what's to happen here. So, hachinami deimi bi'al carbon echad. No, you're right. We certainly don't need a pasuk for that. Sorry, we said that wrong. Ela ima hachi, yochol al ha'leidah shelifnei melot v'al ha'leidah shelahachar melot. You might think that the meaning of the Zotarata Yoledet is that births, whether it's Betoch HaMelot or not, it's not important that it should be done before the time that she was Yotza into the, after the 80 days to bring her carbon. Whatever, she didn't bring her carbon for a year. She has another baby a year later. So now she'll say, well, it says La Zachar La Nativa, I had a Zachar La Nativa, Zotarata Yoledet, I'll bring one carbon, what I have to bring on every one for. Therefore, it stresses Zotz, that there is such a thing as a unique event, and I can't understand, therefore, the pasuk unless I reach the conclusion that as long as it's betoch malot, that there hasn't come a moment in which she could have brought the carbon, that she was chayevet on the carbon, so then, fine, then the one carbon she can bring, both on the zachar and the nekevah, and everything is fine. But if she was already yotze liachar malot, where now she's mechuyevet the carbon for leda one, if she has another Leda or Hapala, then she's going to have to bring a separate Korban on Leda 2. So we now have two separate meanings in the Pasuk, and we're left with an understanding that it's Malot that defines it. But the question is, of course, that there's a Machlokas over here between the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Yehuda as to what we mean by this Limud. Because we can look at it as a din in terms of Korbanot. In other words, because you're not chayav in the korban, therefore the korban can now cover anything that occurred during the period before the chiyav was chal. In which case, it has nothing to do with the technicalities of how we define birth. And that, of course, is the way the Rabbanon learned. Because they say, look, as far as the dinim of birth are concerned, I mean, the meitar start over again with the second birth, it's just that the korban is inclusive. Rabbi Yehuda, though, is saying that no, the way to understand the pasuk is that since the Torah defines these births in different ways, a birth that occurs betoch hamalot is not a birth, at least vis-a-vis the carbon. So it's not mechayev you a carbon. It's not that the carbon now covers this birth also. It's that there is no separate key of carbon on that birth, because we don't look at it as a separate event. So therefore, the Gemara now wants to talk out the understanding of the Machlokas reviewed in the Rabbanon, and it says as follows. Okay, the Mishnah said he pila betoch shimonim, and Rabbi Yehuda said, no, actually on the Leidah Shlishit you do have to bring. Now, kishetimtzi lomar, when you analyze this, you're going to have to come to the conclusion that the divrei Rabbi Yehuda, v'lad rishon goreim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the v'lad rishon is the only element that is considered to be a goreim in this issue. In modern Hebrew, we literally use the word goreim in that sense, right? The lo habi goreim. It's not considered to be an important element. This is the original use, basically, in the Gemara Lashon that led to the modern usage of goreim. So v'lad rishon goreim is the element that causes the chiyuv. And then mi v'lad rishon moneh. You're counting now only from v'lad rishon and not from v'lad sheni. And the v'lad sheni is not viewed as a separate event. This requires immense concentration, this sugya. According to the Chachomim, the blood sheni is goreim, and now causes a new malot, and therefore she counts from the blood sheni. We now have 80 days to the blood sheni. If there was yet a third apalah from the blood sheni, it's also going to be potter, ad infinitum. What do you mean, kishetim se lomar, when you analyze it? What am I, an idiot? Pshita. I don't understand pshita orchis. What other possible explanation is there? I mean, that's what they're saying. That's not kishetim se lomar. Kishetim se lomar means when you work it out. I don't have to work it out. A child understands what they're saying. That's what the words mean. No, no, no. No, 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 no. Remember, there's another case in the Mishnah, which is mapelah tumim. Remember that it isn't clear precisely whether the point over here has to do with the nature of a conception. In other words, it may well be in the second case where the birth is originally an extended birth because the conception took place of these twins. And now we have one of the twins that is lost after already the malot began of the first twin. Now we could maybe review it over there, would say, okay, hold on, I mean, over here, since this was basically the same delivery, just extended over a long period, over there I'll have to agree that we start the count from the second part of the delivery, right? No, Karmashvalan, therefore I'm talking it out to you, that even over there, the issue has nothing to do with conception, and nothing to do with the technicalities of the delivery. It has to do with the way the Torah defines delivery in terms of malot. That's all. And that, I say to you, kishetim tzilomar, once you've worked it out, you will see that the logic applies to mapelah ta'omim in exactly the same way that it does to the idea, is Nekeva case. Remember, the Mepelah Tomim is the only case where you could have a Zachar, right? Because otherwise you'd be over the time for conception. Now, our question, however, is this. And before we actually get to it, let me speak it out, because there's a lot of arguments about how to understand this Gemara. It's very, very unclear as to precisely what issue the Gemara is worried about. Remember that overall there's two basic considerations that we have over here. One, in the Mishnah, is the consideration of the korban. Is there a chiyuv on someone who has a child, betoch the malot of another child, when the other child was itself born betoch hamalot of a first child, correct? That's the machlokes with Yidden Rabbanan. Now, there's many different ways of looking at that. We could say that what Rav Yehuda essentially is saying by claiming that the second miscarriage doesn't count in terms of the korban is basically saying that it's not a leida. That the Torah defines a leida as a unique event after 80 days. Now, if that's what it means, then it's not simply that he's saying that the korban of the first one is inclusive of the second one. He's saying we don't look at that birth as a birth at all, right? Because, I mean, after all, he says you don't start counting again. But if we don't look at it as a birth at all, it may be irrelevant to any of the dinim of Leda. For instance, now here's the questions. For instance, the first malot was interrupted by the reality of the Leda. Now there's no question that the Torah is going to be metame this woman. Nobody has any doubts that Rabbi Yehuda agrees that physically speaking, she had a delivery, her uterus open, there's a child over here, and that is an event that the Torah defines as being tummy. The question is the relationship of the Yemei HaMelot to this birth. That tumah, did it not interrupt the first count of 80 days? She was supposed to get 66 days of Tahara. Did she get 66 days of Tahara? No. In the middle of those 66 days, she lost 14 days. Now, if we're going to look at this as part of the din of Karban, fine, those 14 days have absolutely nothing to do with anything. I mean, some accident happened that she was unable to sleep with the husband for 14 days. I mean, that's going to count off of her 66 days. It was have to do with it. So she lost those days. What can you do? That's one way of looking at it. And if that's the case, if she lost those days, then at the end of 80 days from the first birth, she's going to be able to turn around now and bring her carbon. But if we look at it as a birth, which in terms of the dinim of Tumah Vatayra is still significant, not just Tumah, but Tumah Vatayra is significant, and we see the count of the Malot as being linked to the Tumah of the 14 days and not being linked to the process of bringing her carbon, then we say, wait a second. First of all, she can't bring a carbon until the end of the 80 days of the second one, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, because she's now at Tfulat Yom Aroch, and the sun will not set until the end of the second 80-day period. So did Rabbi Yehuda, when he said, well, it all goes according to the Malot to the first one, did he mean even in terms of that? That as soon as the 80 days are up of the first one, she can bring a carbon, and we don't turn around and say, but what happened to the 80 days of the second one? And I said, well, the 80 days of the second one don't count. I already showed you that the Torah does not b'chayev you a carbon, so why should it give you a main malot? What? No, she finished her 14 days now. Remember, here's the scenario. She has a miscarriage of a female. 14 days later, where she becomes Tahora. On the 15th day, she reconceives. 40 days later, on the 55th day, she has a miscarriage of another Nekeva. Okay? So she's tumming out for 14 days. So 55 and 14 is how much? But she still has until 80 days. So she now goes back to being Tahora, right? Okay, so now she, Tahora, I mean, when I say Tahora, I mean actively Tahora, not just, in other words, even if she's Roya Dam, that Dam will not be Matamir in those next 19 days. The end of those 19 days, she wants to come and now bring her carbon on the 81st day from the birth. Can she? Question number one. Can she? Or do we say, well, wait a minute, maybe Rabbi Yehuda was machmir, that if she would give birth after the 8th, in other words, she doesn't get 80 days for the second one to potter a third one, but he's certainly not being makel to say, oh, it's okay, you can go into the base of Mikdash as a Tfulat Yom Aroch. I mean, she's still a Tfulat Yom Aroch in terms of Dinim Tumah Vatayra, so she may not have to bring her own carbon for the second birth, but she certainly can't go in to bring the carbon for the first birth until she finishes the cycle of the second one. Because that would be a kula. All I saw over here was Regavi the Chumra. That's question number one. Question number two is, if Rabbi Yehuda is willing to admit that what I have over here is an actual event of a birth, and it's significant in terms of the relationship between the two, how about giving her back the missing 14 days? Would we restore 14 more days of Tahira to make up for the missing 14 days that was lost by the first birth because of the interruption of the second birth? That's called mefuzarim here in the sugya. Can you be mitfazer yemei toak? In which case, what would happen is, we would say, we start counting another 80 days. The end of the second 80 days, even Rabbi Yehuda, remember, because he's not going to be metal, so he's saying, okay, she's still a tfulas yom aroch. Now, we have to add to the second 80 days the missing 14 days of the first one. So she's going to basically extend it to the missing 19 days in our case, right? So she will extend it to 99 days from the time of the birth of the second one. That's also a question.
Independently of bringing the carbon on the first?
Well, what I'm doing is I'm showing you the various hashlachot, which I'm including all of the sheets of Rishon. Some learn the sugya. Rashi learns the sugyas in terms of the question of giving her those missing 14 days. The Rambam learns the question, at least the way the Chofetz Chaim understands the Rambam in his Likutei Halachos. The Rambam understands the question as being, when can she bring her carbon to the first one? What's the relationship of the Yemei Malos to the first one? And then there's a number of other approaches which are even more dramatic as to whether Bechlal we give her the din of Leda, even in terms of that Yemei Tohar.
For the second one.
For the second one at all, right. Right. So let's take a look now and see the way the Gemara puts it, and you'll see that the language of the Gemara is rather comprehensive, that is to say vague, and allows us quite a few possibilities. So, says the Gemara, Iboyevavu, what we'd like to know is, Betuma Maliom Rabbi Yehuda, what was Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in terms of the dinim of Tuma V'Taira? We understand what he's saying in terms of Korban. We understand that as far as the Korban is concerned, all that's important is the relationship of the second birth to the Yemei Melot of the first one. And if the second birth is within the Yemei Melot, fine. Once it's outside of the Yemei Melot, then it needs its own new Korban. But the second one doesn't get its own Yemei Melot to define a Yemei Melot for the third one. Okay, fine, I understand that. He learned that out of the Pasuk Zot. But what about the guy that did him with Tuma? Did the second one get a din of later vis-a-vis Tuma V'Taira? Mi Amrina. Shall we say that, Ad kamo karma Rabbi Yehuda v'lad sheni kamad lete dami? The only point at which Rabbi Yehuda was willing to say that the second v'lad was non-extant in terms of the dinim of Malot is in terms of the dinim of Malot vis-a-vis Korban, Elulin Yan Korban. And that a third birth will not be covered by the extended Malot given by the second birth. That he says, but maybe that's all he says. But the reason for it is purely a din in Korbanot. The point is, because anything that's included within the period of Korban is an event that's included in the chiyuv of the first Korban, and anything that isn't, isn't. So the Gabi event, we don't give her the rights to the third vlad. So, v'chein, vlad sheni kamanda lete dami. In terms of those halachas, the vlad sheni doesn't exist. Aval, but when it comes lenient to Tumavatira, I mean, he's certainly not going to change the 1466 relationship of Tumavatira, is he? So in that, he would agree, kamanda ite dami. It's yes, it's as if it exists. Umapsika Tumavatisheni, which would mean that the 14 days of the second birth are considered to be an interruption in the valid running of the days of the first birth. And therefore we would now have to complete the Yemei Taira of the Rishon, and then we would have to give the full Yemei Taira to the second one. In other words, we're basically adding the Yemei Etohar that were interrupted to the end of this period.
So 14 days?
No, extra 14 days would have to... This is how Rashi understands it. Odom al Rabbi Yehuda chumrahu de'isle. Maybe all that Rabbi Yehuda is saying, look, the Torah is being machmir to be mechayev the korban on the third birth, and to teach us that when it comes to the Ptura of the Korban, you can't look at the Yemei Melot from the second birth. But certainly, it's not a kula to tell me that you can also extend now the time at which your dam is considered to be Tahora because of the first birth. Kula lesser? There's certainly no kula that's going to be involved over here.
Are we saying that the 14 days get added on, but the additional 66 do not get added on, but...
No, the additional 66 also get added on.
Also get added on.
Yes, because that's also kula. Because if we take off those 66, then she can bring the carbon at the end of 80 days from the first birth, which means we're being mad to her to come into the base of Migdash as it's full of Yom Arot. That we certainly are not going to do.
There's no sort of in between where she can't bring it, she can't come in.
Not according to Rashi.
No.
She's Tahor,
but the dam she sees
is Tahor. Yeah.
Basically, she's
Tahor. She is actively Tahor. In other words, the Torah was Metaheret, her dam.
But she still can't come to the Beis HaMikdash.
She can't come to the Beis HaMikdash. Right. She can't come to the Beis HaMikdash as it's full of Yom, or she can't eat the Kachem as a Mechuseret Kippurim. So she brings her Korban. Well, there's three dargas of Tumah. There's the actual Tumah of Leda. Then there's the reduced tumah of the tfulat yom aroch in this case, which extends for 66 days after her tefillah. The sun doesn't set for 66 days, and then until she brings her carbon, she's on a yet lower level of tumah, which is a mechuseret kippurim, which is only significant in terms of kachim. And that mechuseret kippurim extends until such time as she brings her carbon, which she can only bring when she's not at Tfilat Yom. So only after the 80th day ends can she bring that carbon. Omer Ravuna Misura Tashma says, Ravuna Misura, I have a very interesting raya to your question. Because in terms of the carbon Pesach, it says, Yoledet, and this is a very strange brisa, that a Yoledet, now she's got a problem, she can't eat kachin, but she wants to have her carbon Pesach. It's now on the last day of her 40 days of the Leva. What's she going to do? She can't bring the carbon herself. Ah, but we could bring it for her, and at the end of the day, she could eat it at nightfall. Now, of course, that's not really true, because she's still going to have to bring her carbon. Here's where we're going to get into our question. So, it says over there that Yoledet Shoftim Lezorkin Alea B'yom Arba'im Lezakar U'B'yom Shmonim L'Nekeva, which makes no sense at all. Because even if you want to say that she's a Tfulat Yom Aroch on her 40th day or on her 80th day, and tonight she will be Torah. Yeah, but Atkan Tmei'ai, until she's able to bring her carbon, she's a Mechusar Kippurim who's not allowed to eat the carbon Pesach. So what kind of eitz is this? Therefore, the only explanation of this brisa, points out Ravuna, was the way Rav Chisda explained the brisa, which was brilliant. Rav Chisda said, I'll tell you, Hamani Rav Yehudi, Yomar Blat Sheni Kamandaleti Dami. Actually, this brisa is a fantastic expression of Rabbi Yehuda's din. And therefore, the case of the brisa actually is talking about where she had twins. And when it says the 40th day, it really means of the second one. So she had a twins near nightfall. One twin is delivered on the first of the month. The next twin, half an hour later, comes out on the second of the month. But that means that the 40 days of the second twin end a day later than the first twin, right? Okay. So what he is saying is that actually it's when it says the 40th day, it really means the 41st day, which means that she would be able to bring her carbon. So what it's saying is that actually, why not go ahead, bring her carbon Pesach, and then let her go ahead and bring her kapara, and then tonight, when she is completes her process of tahira, it's fine. Now that means that we're looking at the second vlad as non-extinct, completely.
Why wouldn't she have brought her kapara before the carbon Pesach?
That's how it worked out.
Sure, seems a little...
Well, wait, we're going to work it out here. Hold on. So, therefore, the Vlad Sheni is command Alessi Dami. There's no possible... Well, a Lav Shmam, you know. I'm sorry, I skipped. So, this is going according to review. There's no Vlad Sheni command Alessi Dami. Now, if you try to tell me that actually review it, it doesn't really say that we disregard the second Leidah. We just disregard it in terms of Korban, but she's really Tmeya, right? So then this is ridiculous. Because if you're going to tell me, I'm a Petuma, Spherely Rav Yehuda, Vlad Sheni, command to eat, they tell me. That when it comes to the Dinim of Tuma Vatira, Rav Yehuda agrees that the second Vlad exists. I don't understand. If the second Vlad exists, how do we do Shechita on the 40th day when tonight she won't be able to eat? She's still not going to be able to eat, even if it is the 40th day, the second later, because you're telling me that the second later has all of the dinim of Tumah V'Taira. Ela lav shemamina, the Tumah V'Taira, Sphirli Revuta, Vlad Sheni Kamanda, Lase Dami. There's no way out of concluding that Rabbi Yehuda is Moda, even Lakula, in terms of Tumah V'Taira, that there is no second later here at all. Therefore, there was no extension of the Yemei Tohar of the first birth. And therefore, when it comes to night, what's the problem? It's the 41st day. There was no extension that was granted. She brings her carbon, and everything is fine. So everything is wonderful. The only problem is that she couldn't go to the mikveh on the eighth day. That's the only problem. Why couldn't she go to the mikveh on the eighth day? Because she was tamei, because of the later. He's mitzvah that there's 2 months later. Fine. So therefore, there was no way for her to eat the Korban Pesach earlier. She has to come in now. She's still a Tfulas Yom, because she had to wait until the eighth day. In other words, the din of the 33 days of the Zakar is 33 days from whenever she's Tovelet. So now if she's going to be Tovelet later, so then it starts a day later. So she couldn't go to the mikveh yet, right? Okay, she couldn't go to the mikveh. And now so it's the 40th day for the second birth now. Fine, tonight it will be the end of her Yemei Tfulas Yom Aroch. And now she can go and eat at night. And therefore, it's proven absolutely that Rabbi Yehuda is willing to take this to the bitter end and say, even Lekula, that she has no dinim of Yemei Tohar whatsoever. The only problem was that the birth pushed off her tefillah. Okay. Says the Gemara, no. Not necessarily. L'yolam emala chalatum of atayvah sefillah, the Rabbi Yehuda devlat sheni kamanda ite dami. Actually, Rabbi Yehuda agrees that the devlat sheni exists. So then you say, well, what? If the devlat sheni exists, so she can't eat tonight. Because she can't bring her carbon until the day after. So how is she going to eat her carbon Pesach at night? Ah. Chitanya Yiva Pesach Abba Betuma. It's talking about over here that the entire Tzibur was Tomei. And therefore, she's able to eat at night. Now, the truth is that what this answer means is that a Pesach that's, again, we need a little bit of a preface here to understand the halachas. A Pesach that's above the Tuma is only mutter for Tumas Mes. If a whole Tzibur, let's say, is from a Besheretz or Bezivas and so on, you can't bring the Pesach the Tuma. Only cases Tumat Mes. What about once we were Doche, the Korban Pesach, and allowed it to be brought to Tumas Mes? And somebody is also Tomei as a Zoh. So he says, look, anyway it's Tomei, what's the difference? Let me eat. No. He can't even eat when everybody else is eating Betuma. However, that's only true about a Zoh. If he's Tomei because of something that is not Yotze Migufo, he's not a Balkari, he's not a Zoh, she's not a Yoledes, she's not a Nida, there's no tumah over here that came from the outside, then it would be mutter to eat the Korban Pesach, the tumah. Okay, this is derived in the Psachim and in Tzvachim from Psukim. Now, here what the Gemara is really saying, although it's going to have to go through the steps why it said this, what the Gemara is really saying is that since she was a Yoledes, or since she's a Zavas, and we're going to call it this, generally we refer to the whole series of Tumiyot Migufo as Zivus. We're trying to say, no, it's not a suffix, it's Vada. We're saying, no, we're just calling Tumiyot Migufo Zivus. It's a technical term. She's a Yoledes, fine. So since over here she is a Yoledes that has already had the Tefillah, and by the evening she will no longer be a Tfulat Yom, because 33 days have passed from her Tefillah. Though she is a Mechuser Kippurim, the halacha is that a Mechuser Kippurim, even of a Zav, or the Yoledes, but the technical term is Mechuser Kippurim the Zav, even though she's originally the Tumas Yotze Migufa, once she is Mechuser Kippurim, the level of Tumah of Mechuser Kippurim is generic. It has nothing to do where it came from. It has to do only with the level of Tumah that the Torah is Bechadesh, that a Mechuser Kippurim cannot eat in Kachin. Therefore, for all intents and purposes, she has the equivalent of a Tumah Sheretz. And she's allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach. On the other hand, if she didn't wait until tonight, she would still be a Tfulas Yom. Correct? And a Tfulas Yom of a Zav, in this case of a Yoledes, has the din of a Tumiyot Migufo and cannot eat from the Korban Pesach. which explains why it would only be on the 40th day. If it wasn't on the 40th day, we couldn't say, what's the difference? She went to the mikveh. Who cares when she went to the mikveh? So she's a tfuyom, okay, but she's no longer tfuyom has the same din as tumiyot migufa, but chusar kippurim does not. It's going to take us a little bit of time to again, tease out these thoughts. But this is what the Gemara means at this point. So even though maybe Rabbi Yehuda agrees that yes, she does have dinim of Tumah V'Tahira, and yes, she's not going to be able to bring her korban yet until later, because the second later pushed off her Yemei Tohar. All true. But, so what? So she was a Mechusar Kippurim. We're only coming to address the problem of Tzvuyom and not of Mechusar Kippurim. That's the Gemara's answer. And if it's true, you can't prove, according to Rebbe Yehuda, that we didn't push off the Yemei Tohar by a day to make up for the day that she lost by the delayed delivery of one day of the second twin. Right? Remember, that's the issue, according to Rashi. Do we give an extra Yom of Tohar to push off because of the day that she lost, since there was another delivery on day two? Obviously, in our Mishnah, it's on day 55. I mean, but that's because it was a reconception. Over here, we're talking about twins. So asks the Gemara, but wait a minute. If it's a Pesach above a Tumah, what right would she have to eat a Pesach above a Tumah as a Mechusar Kippurim? Doesn't it say, Vatznan, it's Meferish Mishnah that says, that Pesach above a Tumah, lo yochlu mimenu, zavim v'zavot nidot v'yodot. Someone who is not Tohar from a Tumah that's Yotze Migufo cannot eat from it. Oh, of course, because they didn't go to the mikveh. That's the point. Ahilo akwit, ilo tav, tevilin. When do we say that you don't eat? When you didn't go to the mikveh. We're talking about being shochet v'zorekale on the 40th day when she did go to the mikveh, right? So over here, ha tovla. Wait, if that's the case, so why does it have to be the 40th day? She went to the mikveh on the 8th day. You're telling me once she goes to the mikveh, even though she's a tfulat yom, she's allowed to eat because it's a Pesach above a Tumah. Isn't that what you're saying? So why in the heck did the Mishnah say on the 40th day, we have to work out this whole crazy case, how it came out to be the 40th day of a multiple birth, when one of the births was early the next morning and so on. I don't understand. Just simply say, Yoledes, from the 8th day on, who went to the mikveh, and the Pesach is above a Tumah, you can bring the carbon for her, and she can then eat it. Even though she can't maybe go into Beit HaMikdash, but she can eat. So Mishmini Dilechaza. Why can't she eat it from there? No. Mishmini Lochaza. Absolutely not. Because even though she went to the mikveh, she's still a Tfulat Yom. And it's Tfulat Yom Dizab Kizab Damin. In this case, it's Tfulat Yom of Yuleida is Kaleida Damya. And therefore, you have to wait until the 80th day. But, understand. So now how does it help? If you say Tfu Yom Kizab Yom, so then even on the 40th day of the Zohar, Nami Lo Chazya, so then she's still a Mechusar Kippurim. Ah, that's the crux of the issue. Lie, indeed. V'yom Arba'im Chazya. Why? Because even though Tfu Yom Dezov is Kizav, Mechusar Kippurim Dezov is Lav Kizav. The Mechusar Kippurim of a Zov does not have a din of coming from Zivot. It's like a new generic Tumah that is placed, that's what Lav Kizav. Doesn't mean it doesn't have the din, obviously it doesn't have the din of itself. It means it's not part of the set of Tumah Zivas. And therefore it's like coming from a left field and does not answer her in eating a Pesach above a Tumah. Okay? Fantastic ideas. There are so many different sugyas. Beautiful to see everything coming together like this. It's just a little confusing if you're not holding in these, you know, sort of arcane issues, but really, really very straightforward and simple when you get down to it. Okay, so that's the case over here. Ooh, that's all very nice, but what is poor Rava going to do? According to Rava, Rava holds in a Mechusar Kippurim Dezov is Kedzov. So now how does he explain this, Brisa, if he doesn't want to use it as a proof of Rabbi Yehuda Shita, Legabi the Dinim, of Kula Bechurma for the second birth for Yemei Tohar. Say, from the Taretz law. Om Ravashi, Ravashi says, well, Rava also has got a way out of this. Because here's what Rava would do. Rava says, when it says on the 40th day, It's not talking about on the 40th day from her birth. It's talking about on the 40th day from the time of conception. The chiddush here being that the 80th day also refers to the 80th day of conception. What? Aha! He says the 80th day of an akeva, his chiddush is that the time of the formation of the fetus of an akeva is doubled. In other words, all of the dinim are doubled. In the same way the Torah gives a din of 40 days of Yemei Tumah of the Torah to a Zohar, that's not a coincidence that it resembles the 40 days of Yetzirat Avlad. That's because the Torah is being machmer on what defines Avlad when it comes to the Zohar. But in the same way that it doubles the time of the Nekeva for Tumah and for Tyra, 14 instead of 7 of Tumah, 66 instead of 33 of Tyra, it also doubles the time requirement for the formation of a fetus halakhically, so that the fetus at 79 days is not considered to be a fetus. If you take a look at it and it's female, it's not a fetus, it's mayim b'yalma. And that's the chiddush over here. Nothing to do with the whole, you made a whole bubba mice over here of multiple births and counting from it. Nothing to do with that. All he was saying is, was she or was she not Tamei Balena? That's all. So therefore the question is it Mem Liyetzirat Zachar and Yom Shmonim Liyetzirat Nekeva? And it's going according to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel's Shita is that Lazachar Arbaim Be'achad L'Nekeva Shmonim Be'achad, the 41st day it has a din of a fetus. And for Nekeva, the 81st day from conception, it has a din of a fetus. And again, as Tosus asserts, obviously, this means that we need to be able to be very precise about conception, which requires a great level of expertise. We're certainly not going to follow intercourse to define conception. But given that we know when conception is, this would be the halacha. Says the Gemara, sof, typically, the tzmeah mishum nida. Wait a second. So in other words, you're talking about on the day of birth. You said the day that she has a miscarriage of a 40-day-old fetus. That's what you said it means. Well, for heaven's sakes, if she has a miscarriage, then she's at least tummy nida. What about the 7 days? Now, this is a very interesting question. Because if we learn that anyway she's tummy as a nida, what do we need the whole chiddush for Shivas Yamim Tumei? Anyway, she's tummy as a nida, right? So, says the Gemara, it's talking about a later Yavishta. There was no blood. And if there was no blood, so she, therefore, would not be Tumea 7 days, because the fetus was immature. So she doesn't have a Tumas later. And therefore, everything works out fine. Yeah, of course. But you're talking about a miscarriage. Ah, that's something else. That's something else. Iyachi, that's what we're about to discuss, the other issue. Iyachi ma'ila mema. So then what's the chiddush? The chiddush is because, as our dear president has just said, what about Iyev Shalut Tichat HaKever below dam? What about the possibility that we should view the very opening of the uterus as itself always involving at least some particles of dam which we're not going to notice? And therefore, by definition, the delivery would be matami or as a nida. Therefore, this teaches us that that's not the case. You can even open a uterus without bleeding. Now, of course, I just made sense. Somebody asked the halacha l'maaseh shiloh yesterday about this. The question over here is, Tosis brings that this is an actual psak halakha, and he brings from the Shi'iltot, based on this Gemara. The Gemara seems to be saying, "Ein p'tichat hakever below dam lahalakha." So paskins the Shi'iltot. The Reb Kiveger here points out that according to the Rajba, basically lahalakha, the Gemara is talking about the specific case of a fetus less than 40 days, and the reason is because there is a Shi'ur to p'tichat hakever. When we talk about p'tichat hakever, it has to be a larger size than a 40-day-old fetus. Now, this has to do with a lot of halachic questions.
such as a bedika, which is done with a mirror, you know, or you know, a wire, you know. So is that called Ptichot HaKever? Well, that the Shiltas is actually bringing from here, that there needs to be a Ptichot HaKever large enough for a vlad of Arba Inyon. So indeed, if there's no Ptichot HaKever more than that's not called Ptichot HaKever possibly, but we could not have a generalized halacha that yesh Ptichot HaKever below dam necessarily. Om Reb Shmaya. So says Reb Shmaya, okay, that was pretty hot stuff, but you were docha what appeared to be an absolutely brilliant raya. And you gotta admit, it was really, really cute to see in that din of Korban Pesach a solution to Reb Yehuda, right? Come on, guys. Wasn't that nice? Imagine the type of awareness that connects those sugyas. It just is beautiful. All right, so that was a real good piece of dancing to get out of that one. But I got a raya from you. Tashma. The Bryson says like this, and it's analyzing the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Shishim Yom V'Shisha Yamim. Now, what would be wrong with saying Shishim V'Shisha Yamim? Well, what's this poetry over here? Shishim. Let's say it would have said Shishim, meaning Shishim V'Shisha Yamim. What would I have thought? Yochol Bein Ritzufim Bein Mefuzarim. I would have thought that those 60 days could be spread out. How could they be spread out? Well, there's only one way they could be spread out, honey. They were interrupted by a birth, and we would make up for them afterwards by adding. Of course, that's exactly what our question is. Do we make up for missing days in a case where there was a second later? Okay? So you might think that those days can be extended beyond Talmud Lomar Shishim Yom. That's why it talks about it as a yom. Just like a yom, by definition, is Ratzuf. There are never different elements of the day. Either the day is a day of Tar, or it's a day of Tuma. There's no such thing as a day that's not Ratzuf. It's partially this and partially that. Af Shishim Kulam Ratzufim. This teaches us that the 60 days have to be Ratzufim. Now, I ask you what we're talking about, my friends. Are we going according to the Rabbanon in our Mishnah, who hold that the second Leda begins a new count? Then what are we talking about? There is no such thing as Mefuzarim according to the Rabbanon. Because according to the Rabbanon, the second Leda now takes over the count as its own new count in terms of all halachas. What Mefuzarim? Who Mefuzarim? We're talking about 3 years over here of Yemei Tohar if we keep having these Nekevot. Elalav Rebbe Yehudi. It's got to be going according to Rebbe Yehuda, who holds that the second Leda is not called a Leda. Therefore, the question is, if she doesn't get separate Yemei Tohar from the second one, then perhaps we need to make up the missing Yemei Tohar from the first one. And now, the Torah says, it's got to be Shishim Ritzufim Bahadeh Hadadeh. And this Brisa basically is bringing a raya from the Pasuk to your question. So Shemamina Chumra Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda Kula Lesley. Clearly there would be no such thing as a Kula to extend the Yemei Tohar of the Rishon. I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda.
So the second one takes over in totality?
No, only according to Rabbanan. Le'olam Rabbanani, says the Mishnah, says the Gemara, your whole proof was based on this needing to be Rabbi Yehuda, because you couldn't figure out, according to the Rabbanan, how in the world you would ever get Ritzufim, since, as Moshe Baruch has pointed out, we have subsumed all of the days of the Yemei Tohar of the Rishon in the new Leda of the Sheni and started over again. So therefore, it's got to be Rebbe Yehuda. That's what your thinking is, isn't it? Well, let me tell you something. I can give you a case where even according to the Rabbanan, it's a chiddush. And it's talking about Le'olam Rabbanani. So you'll ask, what? According to Rabbanan, how is that possible? It is possible. It's possible if it's a case where the second birth did not subsume the Yemei Tohar of the first birth. And how is that? The first birth was a Nekeva. The second birth was a Zohar. So what happened over here is that, Hachamamayaskina,
Liyoledet Zachar Petok Shmonim Shel Nekeva. What it's talking about over here is that she had a Zachar within the days of the Nekeva, and the Zachar's Yemei Tohar ended before the Nekeva's Yemei Tohar ended, therefore couldn't possibly subsume the Yemei Tohar. We'll talk about the case in a moment. Obviously, we're going to have to still zero in on exactly the case, because this makes no sense on the surface. Because how that ever happened, since she could only become pregnant 55 days into it, 40 days, that gives us 95, not 80. Fine, we'll worry about that. But in that case, where the Rabbanan cannot look at the second birth as subsuming the first birth, so now you have to ask yourself, dear me, she ends up losing her 14 days because of the birth of the Zohar in the middle. Shall we extend it and give it to her? Talmud Lomar Shishim Yom, they need to be Ritzufim. Says the Gemara, but what do you mean? But Ad Kan, Debatra, Lo Shlami. The Rabbanan of Lach Sheni Manu. I don't understand, but it's an impossible case. If she could only get pregnant at the end of the 14 days of the Nekeva, and according to the Rabbanan, we count to the Vlad Sheni, so then she has another 40 days, so what, that takes her all the way to 95, but at 80, she already lost the days of Torah for the first one. No. We're talking about over here, Yoledet Tomim. She had twins. The first one of the twins was a Nekeva. So she has the Nekeva Kadmaisa, and then she has a Zachar Batra'a, and Kegon Di Leidata Zachar Batra is Be'esrim L'Yumei Atara. She's now in the 20th day of her Yumei Tohar. She messes it up by having this boy. Okay? But the end of 40 days later, she still has plenty of time left in her Yumei Tohar for the Nekeva that was born first. And there the question is, do we make it up? So what the Bryce is really talking about is, you might think in a case where she had twins, and the first one was in the Keva, and the Zachar was Lebesov, that over there, Tafsik Tumah Lebeda B'mitzi, where the 2 months later came right smack bang in the middle of her Yemei Tohar, that Nini La Shisha V'Shishim Mefuzarim, we should still give her a total of 66 days of Yemei Tohar, even though we have to split them between the first days and then the second group of days, and the 14 days in the middle will have to be taken out. Talmud lo mayom to tell me. Mayom kula ratzuv, av shishim kulam ratzuvim. Ha! There you go. So we've proven nothing. Because it could be the Rabbana. Now that I come up with this brilliant case, I've danced around the second proof.
Would we be counting the 66 again from after the birth of the boy?
No. Omer Abaye Tashma says, "Abaye, okay, very smart, but you only looked at the first part. What about the second part?" We continue to darshan. The fact that it says Shloshim Yom v'Shlosha Yamim, we have exactly the same drasha over there. Shloshim, it says in the Braisa. Okay, why do you need the Yom? Aha, because Yachol Bein Ritzufim Bein Mefuzarim. You might think that we could extend the day. Talmud Lomar Yom, Mayom Kulo Ratzuf, Av Shloshim Ritzufim. I dare you to work this one out, okay? Because over here it's talking about males. Now how the heck are you going to get a case, according to the Rabbanan, where you're going to be able to not subsume the second later, the first later? By definition, you can't have anything less than a male, so there's no way that it could work out according to your explanation, okay? So, money. Who's this going according to now? Elema Rabbanan, excuse me, Yitul Rabbanan Mefuzarim, Ha'amri Rabbanan V'lat Sheni Manya. According to the Rabbanan, anyway, we always count from the second Leida. It's got to be going according to Rabbi Yehuda, therefore, who does not count from the second Leida, and who says everything goes from the first Leida. And therefore, our question is, but nonetheless, the poor Yoledet loses her 14 days, should we give it back to her? We don't give it back to her. And kula letle. That's proof number one. You can't get out of that one. Proof number two is if you take a look at the rest of the original limud, you'll see you've got a proof there too. Because we also darshan, what is the meaning of Sheshet Yamim? Sheshet Yamim is Lashon Rabim. So we darshan, there we said, the Sheshet Yamim, Yoko Bein Ritzufim Bein Mefuzarim, fine, there we learned the Shishim. So you might think the Sheshet Yamim could be either way, because there it says Lashon Rabim. Therefore it says Shishim. Just like the Shishim, we prove by the extra word Yom that they have to be Ritzufim, so too the Shisha have to be Ritzufim. Now, what in the world were we thinking about when we said that the Sheshet Yamim, maybe they could be Mefuzarim? Where would we get Sheshet Yamim Mefuzarim? Well, we could be talking about a case where now, after 63 days have already passed out of the 80, okay, out of her Yemei Tohar, she has 3 days left. So in other words, she's on her 77th day of her 80 days. Okay? From her Yemei Tohar of 66 days, 63 days have passed. She's got 3 days left. Shall we? Okay, I understand. I don't make up the Shishin Yom. Maybe I should make up the Shishin Yom. And how did I lose the Shishiyami? I have a delivery with 3 days left. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. So maybe now we should make up the 3 days, right? Who is this going according to? What do you mean 3 days? You said it could work out according to the Rabbonan in a case where we would have the end of the Yemei Tohar of birth B within the Yemei Tohar of birth A, where there even the Rabbanan would have to entertain what the din is Lagabi Mefuzarim, correct? But certainly, if you've only got 3 days left, you can't possibly have a way in which you could subsume the days of the 40 in 3 days. So it's got to be going a Libet Rabbi Yehuda. Who else could it be going according to? According to the Rabbanan, we start all over again. Therefore, this, again, even the first price, which you thought you got out of by only looking at the first part of it, you didn't get out of it, because where's going to be the last part doesn't work out according to Rabbanan. Elay Rabbanan mi ul Rabbanan mefuzarim amir Rabbanan lach sheni manya. The Rabbanan say we start a new count at the 63rd day of Yemei Tohar. 3 days left, and it all starts over again. Had a lot of reviewing. Again, even that first brisa of the Shishim and Shisha proves it's reviewed. Vishmamina Chumra Itle Kula Letle, which proves that Rabbi Yehuda was only talking about the din of Chumra. Which din of Chumra? To be Machayev on the Leida Shilishit. But certainly, no Kula was involved in extending the Yemei HaTohar and say, well, I mean, since this is not a Leida, we're going to have to make up the missing Yemei Tohar. Absolutely not. This price is teaching us that Afilo Libet Rabbi Yehuda, there's no extension of Yemei Tohar of the original birth because of an interruption of a semi-birth, so to speak, in the middle. Okay, I guess we're going to have to stop earlier here.
How do you keep track of all these days?
Sorry?
How do you keep track?